Ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting from, well, somewhere rather interesting, to be honest, but I'm not going to tell you where, because I shouldn't be here. It's the James Whale Radio Show.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
So, hello, dear listener. Welcome to the program. The James Whale Radio Show coming your way here. Available, of course, at jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Available on Audio Boo. Available at talentgb.com. In fact, available almost anywhere. It's pretty silly me telling you where you can listen to it, because, of course, you are listening to it at the moment. So that's really not worth me saying, Rob, is it, to be honest with you?
What if someone's on a bus and they've got their headphones on so loud that people can hear what's going on but don't know where to get the show from?
Ah, that's a really good idea. So, if you're on a bus and you can hear somebody else listening to the James Whale Radio Show, you can pick it up when you get home at jameswhaleradio.co.uk, talentgb.com. I think we're on iTunes, aren't we?
We're on iTunes,
all over the place. Yeah. In fact, just put my name in to a search engine in your phone or whatever and pick us up. That's it. Yeah. I've got over that now, haven't I?
You have, yeah.
Yeah. And if you want to get in touch, all you've got to do is email James Whale Radio, one word, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. Well, I've had a great week. I've learnt a new word.
What word is that?
Could you sound more enthusiastic?
I have to do editing, so I'm just thinking this is going to be one I have to edit.
Groin.
See, I knew it.
No, groin. Do you know what groin is?
Isn't it something to do with bits between your legs?
You see, that's what I thought. And on one of my shows for the BBC, there was a news report, and it was talking about, and it's going to be full of groins.
Right.
And so I questioned this after. I said, well, it's going to be full of groins. And we were talking about sea defences, and the sea defence is to make sure that the sea is held back from this particular area. They are going to put in a lot more groins.
So they're going to line people up on the beach?
With their legs open.
Yeah.
And that will hold the sea back.
Well, it might do one or two things, but I'm not sure it'll hold the sea back.
Well, I had this long discussion. And, of course, a groin, you know what a groin is. Well, shall we leave it till the end of the programme to reveal what a groin is?
I'll have to make a note because we won't remember. Hang on.
Yeah, make a note.
What
groin.
Is a groin?
And we'll finish the show off. I'll tell you what a groin is. And by that time, of course, loads of you will have Googled it and found out and think you're cleverer than me.
Okay.
Okay, right. Now, the show's great today because we've got a guest on the programme. Danny John Jules is on the show. Danny John Jules, of course, he played the cat in Red Dwarf. But more importantly, he plays on that TV show called Death in Paradise. Some think it's a bit cheesy, but I love it.
Jonathan Creek Abroad.
Jonathan Creek, well, I suppose so. Yeah, well, yes, it's a little bit like that. But it's filmed on the island of Guadeloupe. And I met Danny John Jules. I don't know if he'll remember, but I met him when we were in the company of Wesley Snipes.
Really?
Yeah, during the filming of a big movie.
Blade.
Yeah, how did you know that?
That's the only big movie that you've been involved with Wesley Snipes, isn't it?
Oh, you are so flipping clever. Well, anyway, we're going to talk to Danny later on in the show, and some of you have sent us emails of questions you want me to ask him. So we'll do that. The only problem is he's in Guadeloupe, and sometimes it's a bit difficult to get a line there, but hopefully we'll be able to do that. So the election's over.
It is.
Are you turning pages over while I'm talking?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I can hear it. Don't do it. So the election is over, and I wonder whether or not everybody was glad with how the election turned out. And did people vote? No, there wasn't a huge turnout. We just don't appreciate in this country the fact that we have the vote, and some people just don't bother. Did you vote?
I did, yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, we sent an invite out to anybody who wanted to chat on the show, We got a few people in, but I'm looking. I got involved in a bit of an argument on the air somewhere else with a Green candidate, and the Greens saying that they're not given enough publicity and they're not given enough time in the media, and if they were, they would have done so much better. But no Green person wanted to talk on this programme, did they?
So far, no news.
No. I mean, we've had all sorts of people get in touch. Lots of our regulars, and thank you very much. And lots of regulars that listen to this. Carol Stanley Foot said she voted for UKIP. David Loughton said that he definitely had the outcome that he wanted at the election. John Hampson said, UKIP single issue party will not resolve anything, so I would never vote for them. Major parties need to start listening to people and fast. And Paul Wetton said, Miliband still says the country is better in Europe. What's it going to take before he listens? And Susan Harris said, the best party to vote for had no media coverage. They will tackle the issues of the EU and immigration, but still have the ordinary man's interests at heart. They are the No to EU party. And Lisa J. Gordon says, I'm really happy UKIP did well. However, I am scared that Labour will get in at the general election and will never get out of Europe. So those are some of the thoughts coming from you today. But the whole point is that the people who bothered to get in touch are interested. But we still get, what, 30, was it a 33, 34% turnout in the election?
Yeah, but the other 60 must be happy with whatever we decide.
That's a dictatorship. Hey, maybe that's what we should be doing. I don't know, a dictatorship. But anyway, keep your thoughts coming in. Keep your thoughts coming in, because before long we're going to be talking about the Scottish referendum. In fact, we're in that period now where we have to be fair to both sides. And I wonder what people think about that. Why don't you give me a sense of it and email the programme, jameswellradio@gmail.com, and give me your thoughts on whether you think Scotland is better off with England or vice versa. Yeah. Because if Scotland go, Wales might go.
I'm in Wales. Where are we going?
Yeah, I know. Well, you're an Englishman living abroad, aren't you?
That's true. That's a good song.
Yeah. But if Wales decide to become independent, and who knows, after Scotland, if they decide to become independent, England might decide that they don't want anybody else.
Oh, dear.
And the only thing I'd say about that is I think England, and you can get in touch and tell me what you think, but I think England need a new flag. I've said this before. I just think the Crusader flag, the red cross on the white background, it's dull and boring, and it represents a pretty bad past, doesn't it?
Don't all flags do that, though?
Well, yeah, but I'd like us to go back. You know, the traditional, the three-lion flag for England. The England cricket team and the football team, they have the England shirt with the three lions on. Couldn't that be the flag again? I think that would be great.
I like that one.
Are you eating while I'm doing this?
Me eating? Look.
Yes, you are.
If people knew what time of the morning it was... They'd
well,
be amazed
it can
that
be
I'm
any
here.
Time. You can listen to this programme any time, 24 hours a day.
Mm.
Anyway, listen, let's do a little advert in here. Would you like a free audiobook? And there are some great audiobooks, and the reason I ask you is because we can give you a free audiobook. And because at this time of year, people are going on holiday, and an audiobook is quite a good thing to have, isn't it, in the car?
Yeah, you can put it on the car when you're going for a four-hour drive somewhere.
Yeah, or you could listen to it, plug it into your... you put it on your iPad or your iPhone or smartphone and listen to it while you're lying on the beach, couldn't you?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. So if you go to the website, jameswellradio.co.uk, click on the Audible link. Look at the top. Look at that now. Yeah, there we are. Right. Click on Audible, follow the instructions, register with Audible... you can register and then you can deregister and you still get a free audiobook. If you're registered with Amazon, you don't even have to do it, do you?
No, you just put in your Amazon code and then you're in.
Yeah. So now you can I'm not biased. You could have almost a celebrity about my life and times, which, let's face it, is a great book.
It is a great book.
I mean, I saw on Twitter the other day the Queen reading it.
I saw that too.
Yeah, and if it's good enough for the Queen, and if you, listen, if after listening to it, you wanted to get yourself a copy of the book, then you just have to go into the shop on the website and you can get one.
£6.95.
Yeah, and signed. I mean, I spent hours signing loads of them.
I spend more time delivering than you signing them.
Well, yeah, okay, but, you know, we have to finance the show. So, jameswellradio.co.uk. Click on the Audible link. You don't have to have my book. You can have any book that is on the Audible or in the Audible library. You can download it and keep it for free, all right? So whilst you're doing that, let's have a bit of music from our friends at Talent GB. Talent GB are now providing us with the music for the show. And if you would like to see, hear or hire any of these artists or have your track played on the show, go to talentgb.com and they can tell you how that can be achieved. Like most things, money always helps. And if you are an act, it's a bit like Britain's Got Talent. But then there's no Simon Cowell to tell you you're rubbish. If you go to talentgb.com, they have a platform there that you can actually put, if you've got a video, pictures, you can show everybody your act. And it can be a musical act, it could be a ventriloquist act, it can be a comedy act, it can be, well, it could be anything. Hey, maybe I should put myself on there.
You are on there.
But do we? Of course I am. I haven't had a booking yet.
Well, we do discos and parties now.
Yeah, I mean, we can come along to your party with a disco, and you can have the biggest sort of 70s, 80s, 90s, any music you want, and I can be the DJ.
Yeah.
It's slightly more expensive than just getting your local.
You get me as well. I flick the light switch.
And you're eating yet again. Never mind. Let's play some music from talentgb.com. This is from Marilyn Childs Duncan. And she is singing her own composition, which is called Let Me In.
It's been a long time coming. It's been years since I saw you last. Standing at the station, my heart is beating fast. It's a strange situation, a lost love from the past. Could you be the answer, or should I just not ask? Open your heart, let me in. Time has brought you near. Open your eyes, let life begin. It's not the time to fear. Trust, love and lust. Come on, let me in. Don't hold back, feel it, you must. Come on, let me in. Eyes, the sparkle I once knew. But life has made you cautious. Well, I guess, and me too. Yes, I'm willing to take a chance on you. We could be together and see life through. Open your heart, let me in. Time has brought you near. Open your eyes, let life begin. It's not the time to fear. Trust, love and lust. Come on, let me in. Don't hold back, feel it, you must. Come on, let me in. Thank you. was for living. Come on. Let me in. Open your heart, let me in. Time has brought you near. Open your eyes, let life begin. It's not the time to fear. Trust, love and lust. Come on, let me in. Don't hold back. Feel it, you must. Come on, let me in. Open your heart, let me in. Time has brought you near. Open your eyes, let life begin. It's not the time to fear. Trust, love and lust. Come on, let me in. Don't hold back. Feel it, you must. Come on, let me in.
So that was Marilyn Childs Duncan and Let Me In. That's her own composition. If you would like to find out more about Marilyn, go to talentgb.com. You can find out about her there. You could find out how to book her if you would like as well. So if you are an act of any sort, talentgb.com is where you should be going. We'll have more music a little later in the programme. But now, I'm going to try and catch up with Danny John Jules, who is at the moment on the Isle of Guadeloupe filming Death in Paradise. But Danny John Jules is probably best known for playing the cat in Red Dwarf.
Veuillez patienter, s'il vous plaît. Nous allons donner suite à votre appel.
Hello there. Can you put me to room?
Please hold the line. We will soon put you through.
So who are they going to put us through to?
You have reached the line of the door.
Say bonjour.
We will soon put you through. Please hold on.
We're in a flipping queue.
Visitez notre site web www.fortroyal.eu pour nos meilleurs tarifs, réservations et informations.
Oh, that's nice.
You can also visit our website.
It's going to give us some more information.
www.fortroyal.eu for the best available prices, bookings, and more information.
Le Langlais Resort Hotel Fort Royal vous remercie de votre patience et s'efforce d'écourter agréablement votre attente.
Hôtel Fort Royal,
bonjour.
It's...
Hello there. Can you put me to room 22, please?
22, yes.
Thank you.
I think he's got the wrong room number.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey!
Yay!
How's that? We have technology.
That's miles better.
Isn't it?
Okie dokie. Right, let me get into this conversation and we'll do the main bit of it first of all. So, Danny John Jules is on the other end of this telephone line in a... Well, I don't know. Danny, I have had the very difficult task of trying to get through to you. Where are you at the moment?
I'm in Guadeloupe filming Death in Paradise. So it's nearly like I'm in character in that police station that's not quite up to date.
Let's set the scene. You are on a tropical island in the Caribbean.
Yes, and the British cop has come out there. You know, he's been assigned to this little island who still have to send off their evidence to another island and all that to get processed. And, you know, it's all a bit old school, should we say. So getting hold of me was a bit like getting hold of Dwayne in the police station, you know.
Can you still do the accent of the character?
Yes, James. Can I help you, please, sir?
Because then I feel as if I'm there.
Yeah, so if I talk to you like this, you know, I'm sure, as long as you don't try to bribe me, of course, because I am a policeman.
Yeah, shouldn't you be in a French accent while you're there?
Well, my parents come from the next island along, which is Dominica, and the whole thing about these islands around there is that they were fought over by the British and the French. So for instance, my mother's island and my dad's island next door, originally Spanish, French, British independence in that order. And Guadeloupe was maintained and still is by the French. So basically, looking out of my hotel window, there's this huge rock like a whale's head leaning out of the water, and that is called Tête à l'Anglais, which is head of the Englishman. And that's where they used to fight for the cannon positions there and bomb each other to smithereens, you know, and all that. So whereas Guadeloupe has maintained its French nationality, so they speak French and Creole here and English, whereas Dominica next door speaks English and Creole. Depending on who was running the country, dear.
Listen, if you don't mind, I wouldn't, because I'm fascinated. I don't know whether you want to talk about this or not. But have you ever traced your family back? Because presumably your family would have come out of Africa and been taken to those islands by someone else.
That's right. And if you look at Dominica, for instance. The hue of the people there are very light skinned, obviously, because I think my great grandfather was white.
Yeah, it's a funny old mixed up world.
It's not
we
many
live
generations
in,
where you know it hasn't sort of obviously from if you think what the Africans would have looked like when they landed to what the Dominicans look like today, you can certainly see the influence, should I say?
Well, I was the other day there was this survey carried out. I don't know whether you heard in Britain saying that a third of British men are now racially prejudiced, going back some 30 years. I mean, I mean, obviously, because I'm a white bloke, I don't notice it, but I hate to use that term. It sounds a bit hackneyed. I've got a lot of black mates. I don't see an awful lot of prejudice. Do you?
I think that, from the days, you know, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, you know, and when I was a kid in Notting Hill, I always remember I used to walk home past this graffiti. It was sophisticated as spray cans as the rap guys did. It was just this big white paintbrush, you know, that kind of look. And it used to say, "Win with Molesley." And I never knew what that meant till I was about 30. Because they were always talking about Oswald Mosley, who used to march around Notting Hill and that, you know, the black shirts. So, yep. In those days, you didn't really notice it as a kid, you know. But it's only as you get older that you tend to be introduced to it to the point where you actually know what people are talking about, if you know what I mean. So, I mean, it's changed in that sense, you know, because it's much more, if it's going to rear its ugly head, it will be covertly nearly. If someone wants to be racist, no one's going to stop them unless you're actually standing on the street corner, you know, clad in swastikas or something. It's much more sophisticated and complicated than it was before. I think that at times when you actually have to mark the spot is when everyone gets this thing that they're so surprised that there's, you know, this undertone of racism. But I'm sure if you were going by percentages, it hasn't changed from when I was a kid, if you know what I mean. It's just got a little bit more sort of underground.
All right, listen, I'm just trying to think back when we first met, and I think, I'm not sure, but I think it was in a cellar in Prague.
It was. I was playing bar football with you and the other half, and Luke yeah. Goss. Yeah, it was a club called Le Clan in Prague, And he popped over to see Luke, and I think Wesley Snipes might have been DJing at this club, and we all went up there, and we ended up playing bar football in two stories down into the Prague suburb.
You were in, of course, obviously Blade 2, which was the Wesley Snipes movie.
Yeah, it was a very interesting evening, I must say. I remember you were the guy that had the radio TV show, and it was quite funny. I used to, you know, it was the old days of, you know, mercilessly sort of cutting people off, and we just thought that was really funny. Well, you know, see, what's controversial to some people is quite entertaining to others, isn't it?
I have to say that later in life, I was talking once to Simon Cowell, who said, "Oh, I used to watch you. That's where I got the idea from." I thought, "Thanks a lot."
Well, I mean, that was it. I don't think anyone had seen anyone sort of do that, you know, live on television.
Let's talk about you, Danny. I put out that you were going to come on the program the other day on my Facebook page, and I've been inundated with people who want me to talk about Red Dwarf. Do you mind talking about that now?
So you felt the surge, did you? People don't believe me. Yes. As soon as you talk about Red Dwarf, you get this surge that kind of engulfs you. So as an actor, I could be doing sort of, you know, movies with Robert De Niro and Marlon Brando, and people would still want to talk about Red Dwarf.
Because there's a slight delay on this line, seeing that you are in the Caribbean.
In paradise.
And I'm sitting in paradise, yeah. And I'm sitting in drizzly, rainy old Britain. Let me go through some of these. Loads of people have asked me to ask you a few questions, but just putting them into context. Is there going to be another series?
Yeah, Doug Naylor has delivered some scripts already to UK TV and continues to write the series. Obviously, logistically, it's getting everybody in the same room. You know, Craig and Corey and Danny and in Guadeloupe and Robert Llewellyn in his electric cars doing electric Formula One, and Chris Barry doing his massive engines, and you know, all these different shows that all the guys do, and getting us together in the room is interesting. But it will be done, and I can tell you that it's being written as we speak.
Caroline Smith wants to know how much input you had into the cat character.
I kind of just used a lot of influences of characters who I thought were, inverted commas, catty, and you know, the style, and I came up with, you know, all these people. Like, I had, you know, sort of Prince, Richard Pryor, Chuck Berry, Cab Calloway, Screaming Jay Hawkins, all those, James Brown, all those influences are in there, whether it be visual or physical. He's very much, you know, he is very much a song and dance man, really, you know. Just a very outrageous, futuristic one, you know.
Gary Elms wants to know what happened to the brilliant pink suit you had at first.
Yes, someone tried to actually, there was two made, and some geezer tried to sell me one on eBay once. And he did have one of them all sort of framed up and memorabilia kind of thing. He wanted to sell it to me because he said, "I've got the original suit." And so I said to him, "Well, actually, number one, there was two of them made. There is another one out there. And two, I actually have the original one because it was copied from the suit I wore to the audition, which was in fact black and my father's wedding suit."
So let me get this right. There's going to be a new series. Is there any chance there could be a feature film, a movie about it?
Well, there's always been talk of the movie, and it's been interesting. It has been sort of mounted a couple of times. I think it's an expensive venture for a British film. You know, I mean, I suppose if it was a Hollywood mogul, they could probably make one in 5 minutes. But obviously, it's just getting the funding, I suppose, which is quite a lot of money when you're doing science
All
fiction.
Right. Now, David wants to know, can you ask him to stop your relatives popping into his garden? So we've done that. I had to work out what he meant, and then I realised.
Oh, what, the cats, yeah.
Yes. Now, Colin Kerrigan says, would you like to do a long way down type of programme, seeing as you are a keen biker?
I'm already doing them. I've done four motorcycle documentaries that have been broadcast. One's on the Community Channel as we speak, actually. I've done the Gambia. I've circumnavigated the Mediterranean. I've done Valencia on race bikes, and I've done Valencia on a small 125 with a £125 budget in a tent. Yeah, I've done all them. I thought he would have probably known that.
Well, he should have done. I'm sorry about that. I feel embarrassed.
Yeah, it's on now. Community Channel. Check it out.
Luke is in Hollywood, as you know. He's been there for quite some time now, and he's making movies. Have you been tempted to go there?
I was, and, you know, I've got two young children now, you know, and that's the part, you know, you've got to literally up sticks and go. I mean, I don't know if Luke had children when he went, or if he has now. I'm not aware, but he did. I think he went at the right time, and him and his brother are both, you know, been flourishing in their various careers in America.
You're absolutely right. Your kids have to come first. Okay, let's go back to Death in Paradise. I just think it's a real piece of escapism. If people haven't seen it, it's great. And a friend of mine, James Cosmo, who's in Game of Thrones and was on this show a few months ago, had say again, Danny.
I know James. James appeared on Death in Paradise, and he does a lot of the realms of the sci-fi shows as well.
Yeah, that's right. And I asked him, he came over, and of course, James is a big star. He came over and he was killed in the first 10 minutes of it. And I said, "That you don't normally do small parts like that." He said, "No," he said, "but I got to have a couple of weeks out there in paradise."
I know he did. He had a great time. He's a big old lump as well, isn't he, old James?
He is. He's a lovely bloke, though.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy you look at and you think, my goodness, I hope he's friendly.
Now, listen, I've got to ask. And I can't remember her name, but the black police lady, the French actress.
Oh, Sarah Martins.
She is beautiful.
Yes, she has this thing. As soon as you mention her name, people sort of get rubbery knees, you know. It's funny. Yeah, she has that effect. And she's really quite not your quintessential, you know, classic sort of beauty. There's something about the unknown about her, nearly. She has this kind of air of you wanting to sort of know more about her.
And she's a French actress, isn't she? She's not that
well
known.
Yeah, she's from Paris. Yeah, she's actually from Paris.
Yeah.
Which is, as I said, it's completely different, because you think she's still like a fish out of water herself, if you see what I mean.
Now, I rang you this morning. It is this morning while we're talking, where you are.
Yeah.
How long are your days? Because it seems to me that you've been chilling out quite a lot.
Yeah, well, I've been lucky I've arrived and I've pretty much done one scene in the 5 days that I've been here. So, you know, the schedule has been very kind to me. Is that they just so happen to be doing all the scenes with other actors. We've got a lovely lady called Sharon D. Clark guesting at the moment, and Don Gillet, who's recently just been in Holby.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, we do get a lot of well-known faces out here. So it's always, you know, different for us, because we always have different people arriving every sort of 2 weeks, you see. So,
how long are you out there for then?
5 months. It's the beach parties, James. You've got to stay away from them. Really?
And is it? I mean, I've no. I'm sure. Listen, I'm just waiting. I remember in my very early life as an actor, I spent most of my time in the canteen at Elstree waiting to be called, and you spent all the money you ever earned eating and drinking.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely a place that, you know, you've got to remember that you've got to learn lines and get home.
But you actually, your character rides a motorbike quite often, which is lucky for you, isn't it?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, because, I mean, I've been doing a lot of motorbike stuff, you know. I do a bit of writing for a magazine called Motorcycle Racer Magazine. And as I said, I've been doing a lot of stuff with motorcycles recently. The Community Channel have been showing a couple of our docs. As I said, there's one out now. I've just finished my short film that I shot called Bucky. Had some good people in that: Francis Barber, Colin Salmon, Mona Hammond, Amanda Mealing. There's quite a few lovies in that. Good friends of Peter Baker, Francis Barber.
What do you actually like most about motorcycling?
I think there is a kind of feeling of freedom about riding a motorcycle compared to a car. I think, you know, motorcycles were kind of rebellious originally, and I think people still have that image of, you know, the sort of rebel on a motorcycle. But, you know, I've been to motorcycle events, you know, whether they be Grand Prix or just rallies and stuff, and all that stuff about, you know, violent bikers and all that is a real myth. I mean, I've never seen so much as a punch-up before a motorcycle event. It's weird, you know, because you go in there thinking, right, it's going to be a big row. It is 10,000 bikers in one room, you know.
Well, listen, look, we'll keep in touch on Twitter and other stuff, Danny. And when you're, you know, when you're back in this country, and if you come to Brands Hatch, do you ever go to the motorcycle things at Brands Hatch?
Yeah, I do. I've ridden around Brands Hatch on a motorcycle.
Well, I don't live far from there, and I know an incredibly good Indian restaurant I'll take you to.
Oh, that sounds good. We'll definitely have to chalk that one up.
You may even have been there.
Yeah, we can do the Indian restaurant. We'll get Peter Straker to do the cabaret.
Danny, good to talk, and see you soon. Look forward to the new series of Death in Paradise as well.
Thank you, sir.
Talk soon. Thanks a lot. Listen, Danny,
cheers,
that was
mate.
Great. Brilliant.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. James Well! James Well! James Well Radio Show! So that was nice to catch up with Danny John Jules. And he seems to be having a good time on the island of Guadeloupe.
He's got the dream job.
He has, hasn't he? Do you think he took my hint that I'd be available?
I think you need to phone him back and hint a bit more.
Because I can do this show anywhere in the world. I can be doing this, and I could take a couple of weeks off from some other stuff I'm doing, couldn't I?
That I'd have to go with you, because the lines are not that great.
Yeah, well, obviously, there'd have to be you and me. I mean, it couldn't just be me. That's absolutely right, yeah.
I'll phone him then and say that we're available.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you were impressed, though, that I was hanging out in a cellar in Prague with, like, Wesley Snipes, Luke Goss, and Danny John Jules.
I'd be more impressed if you could tell me what a groin is.
Ah, yeah, well, I'm going to tell you at the end of the programme what a groin is.
Okay.
Yeah, but don't let me forget, because I had actually forgotten.
I that's what I thought. I thought I'd bring it up just to...
Yeah. Do you know, that interesting, the night in Prague, because we went over, Mrs. W and I went over, Luke was in Blade 2 with Wesley Snipes a few years ago, and Luke said, come over and hang out for a long weekend, which we did, and I'd never been to Prague before in my life. Great city, by the way, and really quite spooky. It's fascinating. It's quite medieval. And then one evening, I think it was a Saturday night, we were all sort of invited to this night out, and we were picked up in a car, driven down these back streets, and it was just like one of those movies, you know, from the 60s. And I thought, we may never come back from this. We got out of this car in a very nondescript cobbled street, ushered into this door. Big burly bouncers on the door, and you could hear the music, but it seemed to be a long way away. And then we were taken downstairs into another biggish room. There was a bar in the room. We were rushed through this room, down more stairs, and I think downstairs again. So we're three stories down into the bowels of this old building. And down in the bottom, there's sort of arched, cavernous roof in this old cellar. And there, at the end of a very packed room with banging disco music, was this small guy, small chap, on stage with headphones on, playing music. And Mrs. W got really excited because this guy was surrounded by the biggest, heaviest bodyguards you've ever seen. We got down to the front, and this quite small, quite demure chap was, in fact, Wesley Snipes, who looks huge on the screen, but he's actually quite a small guy. And his hobby is DJing. And so he stayed there the entire night. He was up there playing records. It's quite surreal, to be honest with you.
Have you seen the film Hostel?
No. Why?
Don't watch that. But that sounds exactly what was happening to you. I thought, any minute now, he's going to get limbs chopped off and all sorts.
Oh, no, it doesn't sound like the sort of movie I want to see. Anyway, thanks to Danny John Jules, of course, and thanks to everybody who sent in questions for him. By the way, if you have any suggestions as to guests, I mean, I'm running out of getting my friends on the programme. maybe we'll go around a second time. If you haven't heard some of the people on the show, by the way, we've got Boy George. He just mentioned Peter Straker, who was on last week. We've got who else have we got? We had loads of people on the program.
Theo, Shane.
Shane Ritchie has been on. Theo Pathetis, former Dragon. We've had loads of people on, haven't we?
Can we get Wesley Snipes?
Well, is he still in prison?
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, hang on, have I brought up something that I shouldn't have done?
No, he was sent to prison for tax evasion. He got quite a hefty sentence.
Now I remember, yes.
Mm. Listen, there's a new survey out this week I wanted to talk about a little bit as well. Apparently, one in three people in the UK admit to being racist. I wonder how people felt about that. And we put it out on our Facebook site a few days ago. Mark Powell says, yes, many more are, but won't admit it. I mean, are we all racist? I mean, in a way, I think we probably are.
I'd have to agree. I think everyone is racist to a little degree, I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah. I hate to say I've got black friends or I've got gay friends or whatever, but I've got friends of all sorts. But we do sometimes, for whatever reason, find ourselves disliking people because it may be because they're too fat, they're too thin, they're of a different ethnic background, and we make irrational statements, whether we verbalise them or we make them in our mind. But I think it's rather worrying that we're going back and people are now beginning to say, yeah, I'm racist, I don't like him, I don't like where he comes from. I think that's a bit of a shame. Paul says, not sure if it is racism, more EUism and immigrationism, possible. Sean Peacock says, I blame a mixture of disproportionate immigration, lack of border policing, relentless minority bashing in the red top newspapers, and incompetent politicians. I think, Sean, you'd find it difficult to get an argument with many. Andreas Lee says, I don't agree with the racism, but I feel that if the survey was among people over the age of 30, the true figure would be much higher. Oh, dear. Joe Latakmark says, I do think we are more racist than we have ever been. And Kaz Stephen says, come on, people, stop calling common sense racism. Interesting thoughts some of you have had. Thank you very much indeed. And if you've got topics you want to hear on the programme, get in touch. You can email me at jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. I could do with a drink. Is it too early in the morning?
It's very early in the morning. Trust me, it's very early in the morning. If I was a vampire, I'd be dead.
And that goes back to Blade. Let's have a bit more music. Don't forget our friends at talentgb.com are now providing us with the entertainment for the show. Music, comedy, whatever it happens to be, if you are an entertainer, go to talentgb.com and find out what they can do for you. This track, the Rhythm and Blues Brothers, and here's their version of Minnie the Moocher.
story about Minnie the Moocher. She was a low-down hoochie-coocher. She was the roughest, toughest frail, but Minnie had a heart as big as a whale. Adi, adi, adi,
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 adi,
adi, adi, adi,
adi, adi, adi,
adi, adi, adi, adi, adi, adi, adi, adi, she loved him, though he was cokey. He took her down to Chinatown, and he showed her how to kick the gong around. Adi, 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 adi,
adi, adi, adi, adi.
About the King of Sweden, he gave her things that she was needing. He gave her a home built of gold and steel, a diamond car with the platinum wheels. Adi, 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 adi,
adi, adi, adi, adi, adi, adi,
adi, adi, adi, adi, adi, adi,
adi, adi, adi, adi, adi, adi,
adi, adi, adi, adi, adi, adi, adi, adi, adi, adi, adi, adi, adi, adi, adi, adi, adi, adi,
adi, he gave her his townhouse and his racing horses. Each meal she ate was a dozen courses. At $1 million worth of nickels and dimes, she sat around and counted them all the million times. Adi, adi, adi,
adi, adi, adi,
adi, adi, adi,
adi, adi, adi,
That's Minnie the Moocher from the Rhythm and Blues Brothers. I love the Blues Brothers movie. I thought that was brilliant.
Isn't there a famous car scene in that?
Yeah, there's loads of famous scenes and great music.
I like the music.
James Brown makes a cameo.
Does he?
In it as well. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he plays a preacher, I think. Now, you're not the sveltest of people, are you?
Here we go again. Could you give me a definition of that word then, please?
Thin. You're not a thin person, are you?
Oh, okay. No, I'm not a very thin person, no.
No, no, because NICE say that this is the organisation to keep an eye on spending for the NHS. NICE say GPs are going to be urged to prescribe vouchers for slimming clubs like Weight Watchers, £100 Weight Watchers vouchers. If you're too fat, you go to your doctor. He's going to give you vouchers to go along. I mean, is that how we really see our taxes being used to benefit the nation? I don't know. David Hoy says, do we also give £100 to very thin people to bulk up? £100. Here we are. You're not looking very healthy. You're a bit skinny. Here's a £100 voucher for McDonald's.
In all seriousness, no. I think the £100 to the starving people would do more good than the £100 off for going to Weight Watchers.
If you listen, not wishing to denigrate anybody who may be thinking about advertising on the programme, if you are to... And look, I know some people just can't lose weight, and I do feel for some people. I'm not thin, but I'm relaxed. You know, if you want to stop... It's like smoking, and I know people get addicted, but, you know, if you want to stop, stop. Lock yourself in a room for a few days. What's that thing that's been going around on Twitter? If great diet, when somebody offers you some food, turn your head to the right. If they offer it to you to the right, turn your head to the left. You know, if you want to lose weight, don't eat so much and do a bit more exercise. It's simple. My thought, anyway. That's my thought. That's almost it, really, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to direct people to the shop, of course. If you've not been there, check out our new shop. You can get not only copies of my autobiography, but you can get T-shirts and baseball caps, okay, with the Whale logo on. JamesWhaleRadio.co.uk/shop. If you go to our website, you can find all sorts of things on there. And if you get a bit lonely, you can follow me on Twitter at TheJamesWhale. And we can have a chat on Twitter as well, because I tweet quite a lot. What else can we do? Well, you could get on Facebook, follow us on Facebook.
Yep.
James Whale Radio, yeah. Now, to finish off, a groin. This all came about with a programme I was doing earlier in the week. Although, of course, when you listen to this, it could be weeks away. And we were talking about sea defences. And the bloke who was doing the interview said, and of course, we're going to put in a lot more groins. I thought, what? He said, no, we're going to put in a lot more groins. And I had this vision of people lying along the beach with their legs wide open, as if this was going to stop the sea coming in. But here we are, a groin, right? A groin is what I would have called a breakwater. You know those little wooden fences that run out into the sea?
Yes.
Where you sit with your towel and your flask when you're on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
That's a groin.
Well, it's a breakwater.
No, that is a groin.
So what's a breakwater then?
No, it's a groin.
Yeah, but what is a breakwater?
It's a groin. It's a breakwater. It's just, I don't know what people call it. But the real proper word is groin.
Well, why are they...
Here's another one for you. Do you know what a zarf is?
Isn't that a scarf that a czar would wear?
You see, not as clever as you thought. A zarf. Well, I'm not going to tell you actually. If you go to the BBC Essex Facebook page, in fact, we'll put it up on ours, shall we? Me and the guys on my breakfast show did a little quiz about words after they tried embarrassing me about the groin, and I can guarantee that you will have had your hand on a zarf at some point.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I'm sure. So go and check that out. And in the meantime, tell all your friends to join us here at jameswhaleradio.co.uk. And we'll see you again next time. And, of course, go and check out all the other programmes. You can have, I don't know, about 38, 35, 30, I can't remember. How many hours of Whale is there now available?
36 hours.
36 hours. And for those of you who quite often say, listen, we'd like to bring back your old TV show, James. Well, you can see some of those shows. They're up there as well, aren't they?
They are.
So check it out. In the meantime, Rob, I think we should go for a bit of breakfast.
Well, I was thinking we could go down the beach and have a look at some groins.
Let's do that. James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/JamesWhaleRadioShow or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.